will be, of course, a little shorter this morning. It don't do no good now. I don't know what time it is. Now, I will begin, actually, in Romans 9, but let's remember that Isaiah the prophet, being moved by the Spirit of God, gives us wise advice. He says that we should look to, or that is, to remember, that's all right, that phrase, we should remember the hole of the pit from which we was digged. And we're down to that place now where we're talking about why should we remember. The reason is to encourage us. That was to give us, to continue, is to encourage us to continue serving while we wait. And now we're down to what, where Peter says, it is to give us assurance. Remember, we don't want to be like the nearsighted person. I've been there.
Yeah.
And every once in a while you find yourself kind of getting, if not maybe just Mason momentarily, you find yourself stopped. But I've been there. Maybe not to the degree of what Peter's talking about. Maybe nobody here this morning has. I have no idea. But where you become caught up with just what's right in front of you. The here and the now. All you can see is not eternal things. You see now. And of course, sometimes experiences, certain circumstances bring us to what seems to be a standstill. To where you begin to wonder, and it's the same old thing, why me? Why did this happen to me? And for a while you battle with that. Until God Almighty again gives you that sight to look further than just in front of your own nose. And you begin to say to yourself, why not me?
Exactly.
Because usually when you say why me, that's an attempt at self-justification. I don't deserve this. You see, the problem is we get far better than what we deserve as it is.
Amen.
If we got what we deserved, God would severely punish us for a couple hundred years, if not more, in this life, and then send us to hell for eternity.
Yes, sir.
But yet God has not purposed that His people continually live in misery and in sorrow. Right? That's why it's wise advice to remember the hole of the pit, but what? From whence ye were digged. And if you begin to look back at where you once was. Now the problem is for some folks, when they look back at what they once was, it's not that big a deal because they really don't think they were that bad to start with.
Yeah.
You know? They decide to follow Jesus. They realize I'm a sinner, but of course we all are. Right? Now, is it wrong to believe we're all sinners? Of course not, because we're all sinners. But you, if you're in Christ, we were personally, individually dug out of the hole of the pit. This is not just some collective thing. According to Scripture, Christ said, I know my sheep. But He also said something else. I call my sheep, how? By name.
Amen.
Okay? By name. So again, I say to remember to look toward the hole of the pit whence we were digged is to give us assurance. Because Peter says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, Sunday before last, we looked at calling. Today, I want to begin to start looking at election. Now, in some circles, election is a subject to be avoided. Right? I mean, they really, that's the way they feel. That's deep things. They've even convinced themselves it's okay because that's one of those deep things. You can't really understand it anyway, so just avoid the subject. You may mention the words, but don't deal with any details. But here's the problem. If I am to give diligence at something and I know nothing about it, then how can I be diligent given toward it?
Yeah.
You know? It's nonsense. Peter says to give diligence. Wherefore the rather, brethren, rather than being short-sighted, rather than forgetting that you was purged from your old sins. And what happens when you forget you were purged from your old sins? What happens? You turn back to them. Because it's natural for you to turn right back to them when you begin to forget that you were purged from your old sins. So Peter says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, I'm not here to try to argue as to when God chose. I think I was just saying Sunday before last, some people say, aha, see right there, Peter puts election after calling. But he doesn't do it as the purpose of God in divine order. He's not talking about the order in which God elected, that is, God chooses after he calls. According to Scripture, and there is evidence replete, election took place before the foundation of the world. That's what it says clearly, and that's not even what I'm talking about, but we're just, that fact is established. Election is a done deal.
Yes, sir.
We are not being elected. We are either elect or we're not. One or the other. Yeah. But the only way we can know we are one of the elect is if we've been called.
Yes, sir.
Now, someone asks the question, can a person not be called and be elect? Well, of course. But a person cannot not be called. A person cannot be not called, be outside of calling, and claim that they're one of the elect of God.
Exactly.
It's just like our Lord Jesus Christ. Are there some people who are not sheep?
Yeah.
He said the word, didn't he?
Exactly.
He told some of those Jews, you believe not because you're not of my sheep.
Amen.
So, in other words, there are people who are not sheep. There are some people who are sheep, and because they're sheep, when they hear the gospel, they're going to follow Christ. But there are other people who, because they are not sheep, when they hear the gospel, they will not believe the gospel because they're not of God's sheep. So it is an established fact there are people who were sheep before they're called.
Yes, sir.
Right? They are declared to be Christ's sheep before they're called. And the thing was, Christ could name them out. He could pick them out individually. He told a certain group of people, you are not one of the elect.
That's it.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
That's what he told them. But I can't say that to a particular group of people. Now, might it be that they are not one of God's? It could be, but it could be that they are. This is the problem with, and we call it modern day religion. There have been people who have objected to the truth since the truth was first revealed.
Well.
But there are people who actually, well, let me put it another way. There are people who believe that people are becoming sheep, yeah, that they're becoming the elect of God, that they are beginning to be the elect of God.
Yeah.
And the fact is, in the mind and purpose of God, an individual either has been or is not one of God's people since before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So election, the time of it, it's established. It's established. But I mentioned a couple Sundays ago that we look at the reason for our election, the method of our election, and the goal of our election. As I said, there are some people who think that all of those three things, there's no reason, don't even worry about it. You know, it's a waste of time. I'm reminded of the one fellow where a place I used to work, and he told me that doctrine is the devil's handiwork.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is? True doctrine offended him, so he didn't want to hear it.
Exactly.
That's what his problem was.
Yeah.
And if you want to find out if somebody's really close to you or not, whether they really are a part of you or not, you tell them about what you believe about election, you'll find out.
Yeah.
You'll find out how close they are to you. And somebody said, well, that's why you don't just do it. It may cause a rift that wasn't there before. No, the rift's already there. The division's already there. The final swipe of the sword just hasn't come through yet. And I'm going to tell you, it's better to find out who your enemies are face to face than find out who they are behind your back.
Exactly.
Because it's the ones that are your enemies behind your back that'll do you the most harm. They're the ones that know the most about you and will try to expose you when push comes to shove. And the problem is, we're sinners.
Oh, yeah.
We have our faults and failures. How could you be one of the elect? Look at you. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Election is not based upon me.
Exactly.
You know? What is the reason for our election? Some people say you can't know. Scofield tells you that.
Yeah.
In one of his notes. We don't know the reason. No, we know the reason. God Almighty. God Almighty. Now, there are several things to consider when we talk about the reason for our election. We could put it this way, and I don't have this wrote down this way, but election is based on God's foreknowledge. Because it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. All right? This is what Peter says, that we are the elect. And let me just find that and read it. I don't have that passage wrote down. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 2, he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, sadly, because man is so depraved, and because man is naturally adverse to the truth, he does not seek to find out the truth as it actually is. He wants to still claim to believe God, to still claim to have true religion, but he will accept or receive only that which is allowable within his sensibilities. Now, if election leaves me out of the picture and I think I've got to be in the picture, then I've got to make it put me in the picture somehow. So what do you do? Well, you quote the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Well, see right there, God foreknew I would believe, therefore he chose me. Is that what it says? Well, see, it doesn't say that, does it? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience.
Amen.
And sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. It wasn't that God foreknew I would obey because of me, but God foreknew his Spirit would set me apart unto obedience.
Yes, sir.
Therein I am declared to be the elect. See, God didn't just, election is not just God said, I picked one, I picked that one, I picked that one. He picked to do something to somebody.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? The Bible does not teach election as merely God looking in the pot and picking out a few apples. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit and that's a different one. Through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Vine says this about foreknowledge. Foreknowledge does not preclude man's will. Now, preclude means to close out, to shut out, to make impossible.
Yeah.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
That's a nice little ditty play on words, is what that is. Now, let me tell you something. You do not use vines to interpret Scripture.
That's for sure.
You make sure the Scripture, you're seeing the Scripture as it says. Do not trust vine or anyone else, or me for that matter, to tell you what the truth of God is. What I say must be judged by this book.
That's it.
But that's what Vine says. God's foreknowledge does not preclude human will. All right, let's look at it. Just one verse for right now. It's found in Romans chapter 9. The verse is verse 16. And it begins with two words that are very important. So then. This is a conclusion, right?
Yes, sir.
He's summing it up.
Yeah.
Right? So then. Right? When somebody tells you a story or gives you some information and they say, so then, what are they about ready to do? Bring it all right down into the nutshell. Here's what it all boils down to, right?
Yes, sir.
Is human will precluded? Yes, it is.
Yes, sir.
When you're talking about election and foreknowledge, it is. So then, it is not of him that willeth.
Amen.
Now, does Paul say human will doesn't exist? No. He admits there are people who will, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it is not of him that willeth, right?
Exactly.
You see, God's sovereign purpose didn't preclude human will. It includes human will.
Yes,
but God's sovereign purpose is not and never has been based on human will.
Amen.
God's sovereign purpose is based on the divine will.
That's it.
Okay? Yeah. That's why when we speak of what? Election, calling, mercy, compassion, so then. The conclusion is, it is not of him that willeth. Who do I believe? God or vine? Go ahead and take your pick. Go ahead and choose. Right? Go ahead and choose. Does election have anything, or does it, and let me clarify that, make it different. Does election in any way have anything to do with human, or is it based upon human will? What does God's book say? No.
Amen.
The conclusion is, so then, it is not of him that willeth. And Paul, now see, this wasn't, we think of this as a Calvinistic Arminian argument.
Yeah.
It was taking place back then.
That's exactly right.
You see? There wasn't no Calvinists or Arminians around. But this argument against the truth was around then.
Oh, yeah.
But Paul, and Paul sees it as an argument.
Yeah.
You know? That's the way he approaches it.
Yes, sir.
As someone coming against the truth of God.
Exactly.
Because he says, verse 20, look at how he puts it. We need to include 19. Verse 19, thou wilt say then unto me. Evidently, Paul's heard this before, right?
Oh, yeah.
This has happened somewhere along the line.
Oh, yeah.
Thou wilt say then to me, why doth he yet find fault? That's how can God find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Right? That's the same argument they're making today. That's an argument that guy in that email made. How can God judge you if you're doing what's God's sovereign will? And of course, what does man want, religious man want to do? Well, let's get to the bottom of that. Let's reason it down to good logic and what seems to be fair, and we'll figure it out. Right?
Yeah.
Now, is that the way Paul responds?
Not exactly.
Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? How does Paul answer it? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? You see, Paul is not going to try to reason this out.
Yeah.
He says, this is who God is, period. Deal with it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Deal with it.
That's it.
If you don't want it, fine. But he's still who he is. Doesn't change it one lick.
Exactly.
Doesn't change it at all. Why did God choose me? Because he wanted to. See, people say, well, we don't know why God chose. Yeah, see, he loved us.
That's it.
He purposed to do this.
Exactly.
You see, that's the problem. See, we are faulty humans. Tell me why you love me.
Yeah.
Huh? Give me the reason why you love me. Huh? Define for me. Put it down. Here's why. Why do you love me most? Huh? You know why we want that, don't you? So if they screw up, we got something to hang them with. Huh? That's right. We don't want to look at someone's love as the overall picture. No, give me the reasons why. Prove to me. Well, God did.
Amen.
He chose us.
Yes, sir.
And he chose us in spite of ourselves.
Right?
He didn't love us because there was something lovable in us. See, that's what we want, don't we? That's what we're actually looking for. Tell me the good thing about me. Tell me why you love me. Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me the good thing about me. Well, God says, there ain't nothing good in you.
Yeah.
You ain't worth loving. Well, that'd make a spouse feel real well, wouldn't it? But that's love. I love you because I love you. I purpose to love you. It's the way it's going to be.
Huh?
And when God digs you out of the pit, you're glad it's that way.
Sir.
You're glad it's that way. Look at what he says. He says, hath not, the next verse, well, no, we need to finish verse 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter, what? Power. Now this, lots of times in Scripture, we'll have words translated that could go one of two or three different ways. And sometimes power is used in the sense of just pure might, ability. And sometimes it's used in the sense of authority. But the truth is, when you're talking about actual ability, there also generally has some authority that goes along with it. But in God's case, it is both, always. He has first the ability.
Yeah.
He does what he does, and none can stay his hand.
Sir.
Right? None can what? Resist his will. Right? Now somebody said, well, but I look at all the disobedience in the Bible. Yeah, but they haven't resisted his will. They may have resisted his commands. They may have rebelled against commands. We have rebelled against commands in Scripture. But we still have not resisted his will. Somebody says that's unfair. Tough. It's the only way I'm going to answer it anymore. Tough. I don't care what you think about fairness.
Yeah.
You know? This is who God is.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing of this preaching thing. It's not, we're not here to debate about this. We're not here to try to emotionally somehow kind of just talk somebody into making a decision for Jesus. We're here to declare, here is God manifest in the face of Jesus Christ. Here it is. Do you believe that or not?
Exactly.
And he says, hath not the potter what? Power. But notice what it said. Look at that next word. Power what? Over. Not just in the midst of.
Yeah.
This is not just, well, this is just, you know, it's kind of what God did. God has power over the clay of the same lump. You got one big mass. What is that mass? It's all of humanity.
Yes,
okay? That's the context here. Whether it's Jew or Gentile, as he just, a few verses later, he'll say, right? Not of the Jews only, but also, especially talking about the mercy. It's not of the Jews only, but even the Gentiles that God's called are included in this mercy, this afore prepared to mercy, right? But look at it. Hath not the potter what power over the clay of the same lump to do what? To make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. Well, God don't do that. The devil does that. No, what does that say?
Exactly.
Does the devil have power over the clay?
No, sir.
Does it even say God gives the devil power over the clay? No, it says the potter hath power over the clay. And the potter of the same lump will make one vessel unto what? Honor. And he'll make another vessel unto what? Dishonor. What if God? And see, that's the whole thing. Paul is, you know what? This is a phrase in the Greek of similar to what we would say today, what is it to you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In other words, what's it any of your business?
Exactly.
And this is what Paul says, what if God? Willing to what? Show his wrath. Now, most people present God as, oh, it's going to come out, but I'd like to hold it back.
Yeah.
You know? And if I could just get man to obey, I wouldn't have to show my wrath. But he won't. And I've tried, and I've done all I could do. So, there, it's got to go. My wrath's got to come out. What did Paul say? What if God willing to show his wrath? Not having to. Mason, God's never been forced to do anything.
Exactly.
Never. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his authority and ability known,
yes, sir,
endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now, God damns no man apart from them being fitted for it.
Yeah.
They are fitted for it. But he does damn men. He did in the garden, didn't he? By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. What? On the command of God Almighty.
Yes,
in the
sir.
Day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And when Adam died, he could produce nothing else but death.
Exactly.
What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Somebody says that turns people off. Well, of course it does. Because they hate the truth.
Yeah.
What's wrong with God giving man what he deserves?
Exactly.
Huh? And again, that's why we go back, well, why did this happen to me? Because you deserved it.
Yeah.
I mean, you deserved it. I mean, there's nothing that will ever happen to me that I cannot say, that I can stand before God and say, God, you let that happen to me. You caused it or let it happen. I didn't deserve it. Huh? You dare not say that.
That's exactly right.
No, he has power over the clay. But what else? See here, now, if that's all we were told, that'd be pretty miserable, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If that's all we knew was there are these vessels of dishonor,
yeah,
life would be rough, wouldn't it? But it goes on and says, what? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath what? Afore prepared unto glory.
Amen.
Even us, whom he hath what? Called. Right?
Amen.
Not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. In other words, there's hope.
Yes, sir.
There's hope. The problem is, man by nature, while he's in the hole of the pit, he's so depraved. He wants the hope, but he don't want the truth that backs it up.
Exactly.
He wants the grace, but he don't want that kind of grace.
Yeah.
He don't mind if he gets glory, if God just let him stay in the hole of the pit. Right?
Yeah.
But see, this afore prepared unto glory, does that began in eternity. And that's even, see, that don't even, it don't even, it was, let me say, in eternity. But Mason, it continues in time as well.
That's right.
Because everybody he foreknew, he did what? He predestinated for what? Heaven? Well, that's there. I mean, I'm sure Scripture ultimately it teaches that, but no, he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son.
Amen.
That ain't the whole of the pit.
Exactly.
Is it? That's not the whole of the pit. God purposed to save us from our sins, not save us with them.
Yeah.
Purpose to save us in spite of them, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But not with them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not looking to go to glory so I could be like I was when this thing began.
No.
My hope from glory is I will be a whole lot different than what I am right now.
Amen.
Now, you talking about, I mean, I know there are people, well, you must think you're something. Might as well go ahead and tell them, yeah, I do. I think God chose me. Well, it don't matter how much you try to define it. Listen, he chose me, what? Before I was born? And it had nothing to do with whether I'd done good or evil.
Exactly.
Okay? You can tell them that. They still will think you're a proud, self-righteous person. But I want to tell you something. The fact is, when it comes to truth, I'm not saying there's no pride. I'm not saying there's no self-righteousness there. But when it comes to truth, the people who believe the truth are the most humble in it, toward it, and about it, in spite of themselves. So again, let's ask the question. The reason for our election, did God choose me because he knew I would will to come, to believe, to repent, whatever? Did my will have anything to do with it? What does this book say?
Exactly.
A resounding no.
Amen.
It's right there in the book.
Yes,
Schofield,
sir,
is wrong. We do know something about foreknowledge.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't that God foreknew what we would do. God foreknew me.
Amen. That's it.
For instance, and this is old. This is old. Same old message.
Yeah.
But it's still there. These passages are still there. God said to Israel, and it's about, my time's about up. God said to Israel, you only have I known of all the families on the earth.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Now let us consider. We're not simply reasoning. We're not simply trying to come to logic, but we must reason from Scripture.
Yeah.
We must come to what the Scripture logically says. Okay? Now, of thee, you only, let me get back to the actual quote. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Is God's foreknowledge simply prescience? If it was, God says, is saying, I know nothing about the Gentiles.
Exactly.
Right? Because he says, he doesn't just say, I knew you more than others. You only have I what? Known. God's not talking about his prescience of Israel. He's talking about his relationship with Israel.
Exactly.
As God knew them, we find another phrase expressed that Adam knew Eve.
Exactly.
And it's talking there about a physical, human, sexual relationship.
Yes, sir.
Here, when God knew Israel, is talking about a spiritual union God declared between him and Israel.
Yes, sir.
You only have I what? Known. I know you. He didn't just say I know about you. Of course he knows about everyone.
Exactly.
But you only have I known. Now, not only did he know them, Paul says he foreknew them.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
That's chapter 11, right? I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I'm also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he, and he has. Not just did he know them, and them only, but what else? Foreknew.
Amen.
Right? We're not talking about prescience here. We're not simply talking about God knowing something before it comes to pass. Does he? Yes.
Yes, sir.
But foreknowledge, as connected here, has nothing to do with prescience. It has to do with God Almighty's specific purpose to enter into a spiritual relationship with someone. And that's why we're declared to be what? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father.
Amen.
God foreknew what he had purposed to do for us. Therefore, we are declared to be what? The elect. Now, that's the reason. It has nothing to do with human will, right? Matter of fact, it don't even have to do with human endurance. Back to the beginning verse. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that what? Runneth.
That's right.
Now, see, you got a lot of people say, well, it depends on you willing. As long as you're willing, then you're fixed up forever, right? Then you got, and we think this is a modern day argument. Then you got other people say, well, you got to be willing, granted, but you got to continue too. You got to run, right? You got to run. You got to live it, brother.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. God's people will, and they will run.
Yes, sir.
But did God's election, did his mercy, did his calling depend on that?
No, sir.
No. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And Paul is quite clear. Here's the thing. Is this individual? Is this election, this mercy, this compassion, this calling, is it individual or was it just some general thing? Well, God willing, we'll begin to look at that in more detail next week. But what is the answer? Is it individual? Of course it is. We go back to John 10 about his sheep. Remember, there's some people, when Christ said it, there was yet a one fold and one shepherd to be made, right?
Yes, sir.
He said, there shall be, which lets us know two things. It didn't actually exist right then, but it would definitely exist at some time, right? There shall be one fold and one shepherd, right?
Yes,
sir. So what did he call those people? Even before they were brought into the fold, that one fold and one shepherd, what did he say? Other sheep I have.
Amen.
Which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They ain't even been brought yet, Jay.
Exactly.
But they must be brought.
Amen.
Right? Now remember, what did he say about them sheep when he calls them? He calls them how? By name. You know why he calls them by name? Because he chose them by name.
Yes, sir.
That's why. Right. Jacob I loved. Esau I hated.
Amen.
And there in eternity was, and God said, Walter, I love.
Yes, sir.
It's individual.
That's it.
It's particular. Father, teach us thy word and help us to honor and glorify thee through it. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.